We sing 202, what will it be to dwell above, and with the Lord of glory reign, since the blessed knowledge of his love so brightens all his dreary plain. 202.
What will it be?
Of the nearness of thy coming and how we are very shortly going to see thee, Lord Jesus, face to face in all of thy glory, and we'll finally be at rest and we'll enjoy our eternal rest with thee, blessed Savior. And so we look to thee for thy blessing upon our time together for this brief meeting, this open meeting. We ask thee for thy blessing upon thy precious word, that thou wouldst give courage to those that thou wouldst raise up to give a word from thy heart of love, perhaps a word of exhortation or edification or comfort for the saints of God, a message from thine own heart, blessed God, for thy people in the day that we live in. So we look to thee for thy blessing, and that we might have open ears, and that thou wouldst indeed pour out a blessing from heaven for us. So we ask thee for thy help and blessing, and give thanks for the occasion together. We pray for our beloved brethren who are traveling homeward, and we ask thee for thy tender mercies, safety along the road, and that they may be able to drive without incident, if it be thy will. So we cast ourselves upon thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Enjoy what our brother Bill was saying. We did look at verses in Romans 6 connected with the position taken on earth associated with the name of the Lord Jesus, we might walk in newness of life. And I've enjoyed this portion here in the constraining of the love of Christ and that the motive, the energy behind the behavior that we have is a response to the enjoyment of his love and a response to who he is and what he's done. And so when in our lives there is that which is pleasing before the Lord, there is no pride connected with that when it is the outflow of the appreciation of his person and who he is and his glory. And I do have a little portion I want to consider in connection with birds. Yeah, Luke 12, he had the sparrows in there, and you had the raven. In the scriptures, we have clean birds and unclean birds. A little while ago, I had a little portion of my heart with the ostrich and the hummingbird, you know, the largest bird and the smallest bird, you know. And the large bird commands respect because of its size, but it can't fly, you know. And that's a sad thing when somebody's a bird and he can't fly. But the hummingbird is so small, you hardly notice it, like a big bee, you know. But that little creature, man, it can fly forwards, backwards, it can hover, it can up, down. It's remarkable. That's what faith does, you know. We see sometimes young believers and they do things, they say, boy, I don't have that kind of faith, you know. But God does that. He does that on the basis of simple trust in the person of the Lord Jesus. But the words I'd like to consider today are found in Psalm 102. Brother took it up this morning in the Sunday school. You had a picture of a bird there, and there was a nice little connection there, and a little prop maybe. I had those things on my heart. And Brother Bill spoke of that little bird in the rock there and said, well, maybe birds are appropriate for the open meeting, you know. And so Psalm 102, we have birds there too, and a beautiful psalm, you know, some of these messianic psalms and psalms that speak to us of the Lord Jesus. As we read this wonderful book full of instruction, can fill our minds with many things, but I believe it also needs to fill our hearts. And when the Spirit of God opens the scriptures to us to reveal to us the person of the Lord Jesus, has us appreciate who he is and what he's done, and that he did that for you, that his love would constrain us. So I'd just like to read a few verses here in 102nd Psalm. Spirit of Christ in there. Verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an heart. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. And now we're going to run into these birds. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert, my watch, and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generation. That refers to the blessing of Zion. And then we go down to verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heaven are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. But just rapidly on these three birds there, like a pelican of the wilderness. You know, pelicans are fairly large birds, and they wouldn't go unnoticed. You know, sparrows, they can. There's a lot of them. But pelicans are maybe rarer. And if you saw a pelican, you might tell your kids, hey, look at that pelican over there. That's that large bird, you know. Pelican in the wilderness. But a pelican was an unclean bird. And you know, when they saw the Lord Jesus, remarkable, he was remarkable. He didn't go unnoticed. He healed the blind and the lame and the sick and the deaf, and he raised the dead. He didn't go unnoticed. But they said of him that he was a Samaritan. He ate with sinners. And they said he had a demon. He was casting out demons by the prince of demons. They considered him unclean. How could that be? The Lord of glory in the midst of failing sinners like you and I, they looked at him and they considered him a sinner and themselves righteous. He was alone in the wilderness. And then it says, verse 6, the end of the verse, I'm like an owl of the desert. You know, you hear birds in the morning. My wife says, you hear the birds? I'm getting to be a bit deaf. And she says, you don't hear those birds. No, I don't hear those birds. But when the night comes, most of the birds get silent. And this bird, the owl, he's awake all night, got big eyes, and he watches all night. I like to connect the beginning of that next verse with the owl, you know. I watch. But my son-in-law in Walla Walla, and we heard one outside there. He had a flashlight. Sure, didn't move. He was right there on the limb, and you shone the light on him, and he wouldn't move. He was just there, watching. It says the owl of the desert. The real meaning there, that word desert, is the desolate place. And what it suggests is that there were people there before, but now they're gone. And so the Lord Jesus, he had disciples around him for a while. And then they all left him. And he was alone. Could ye not watch with me an hour? No, they couldn't watch with him. I couldn't watch with him. You couldn't watch with him. But he watched. And the Father heard his cry in the garden. You can hear that all in the night. He's not singing, but strong cries to him that could deliver him out of death. Alone. And I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I wasn't here on Friday, but you certainly ran into that verse. Five sparrows for two farthings. That wouldn't work much, you know. In Matthew's gospel, it says you get two for a farthing. You get two for a penny. 2 pennies give you an extra one. You get five. They weren't worth much. And one sparrow wasn't worth anything. They esteemed him not. They had no esteem for him. On the housetop, you know, the Lord Jesus was born under the law. There was only one man that satisfied ever all the requirements of the God of the Old Testament. And it was him. But he's alone. We esteemed him not. Now, that little word there, housetop, is one word in the Hebrew, and it's the same word that's used in the altar burnt offerings. We had the burnt offering this morning, the top of the burnt offering. That's where the animals were placed. And so that one we esteem not. He was going to offer himself. Disciples forsook him. His people didn't want him. Called a Samaritan, had a demon, ate with sinners. Nothing could deter him from going to that cross and glorifying his Father. But there were some around him. That's what we get in the 8th verse. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. There were those around him to insult him, to buffet him, to strike him, to crown him with thorns, to mock him, insult him, crucify him. Was a crowd around him. No comforters, as we read in other Psalms. Verse 9. I've eaten ashes like bread. Brings to mind that verse in Hebrews. It tasted death for every man. And mingled my drink with weeping. They give him vinegar to drink. The cup which my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? He could not drink it with pleasure, certainly a delight of doing his Father's will, but with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath. God had indignation and wrath, but not against him. Was against you. Was against me. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Here he is presented to Israel, and they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he's having a reception, and then he's having a deception. He knew about it, didn't he? And he was cast down. And he was lifted up on that cross, rejected by his people, forsaken by his disciples. And as we've read in Psalm 22 this morning, even the heavens were closed to him. Nobody ever experienced such solitude. The pelican of the wilderness, the owl of the desert, the sparrow alone on the housetop. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and withered like grass. You know, I was thinking of that, shadows that decline it. And sometimes you're driving down the highway at a certain time of day, and you can see in the road you're driving the shadows of the other cars on the other side of the driveway. The shadows are getting so long. And if you're really careful, you could probably stop somewhere at that time of day when the sun is going down, and you would see the shadows literally moving on the ground as they are extending and extending and extending. It's a time when the sun is going down. Going down into death. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't die of exhaustion on the cross. He died voluntarily. He laid down his life. We read that this morning. He said, "It is finished. I am consumed." And he gave up the ghost. Well, we go down to verse 23, 24 now. I said, "Oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days." Was a young man, wasn't he? Somebody here in the 30s, 33. He was really a man, you know. Not just a man, but he was really a man. He was in the midst of his days. And I believe the last part of that verse is an answer to that first part from God. Thy years are throughout all generations. You know that the Lord Jesus, as Son of God, he didn't have any age. God doesn't have any age. He's not so many years old. But the Lord Jesus, he partook of flesh and blood, and it tells us he was 12 years old in the temple. He had years. Public ministry. Jesus was about 30 years old. He had 30 years of human life, But the answer is, thy years are throughout all generations. He's going to have years forever because he's going to be a man. He's going to be a man forever. He's still God, never stopped to be God, the Son of God. But he's going to be man forever. And we're going to see a man face to face. He has holes in his hands and his feet and his side. The one who's alone. And those around him were to insult him and buffet him and despise him and hate him without a cause. He's going to have millions around him, the benefit of what he did for them. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, verse 25, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Oh. Who's that one that we spit in his face? The creator of the universe. The one who sustains all things by the word of his power. That's him. They shall perish. Thou shall endure. You know, we read in the New Testament there, 2 Peter, heavens and the earth that we now see are going to disappear. But he's going to be there still. There's going to be a new creation. He's going to be there still. Forever and ever. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Verse 27. Thou art the same. We have that in the Old Testament, the same expression. I believe it was Deuteronomy 30. I had to check it in my French Bible. That's the name of God, the one who is. Thou art the one who is. He is the Lord. He is God. Thou art the same. Thy years that have no end. As being the same, he's God eternal. But his years will have no end. That's because he's a man. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 8. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can understand this verse in considering the person of the Lord Jesus as a man now, a resurrected man, From that day he rose from the dead. There's no change ever. He's the same. He's the same that the day he rose from the dead, when he ascended up to heaven, comes back from heaven. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we can also read this verse a bit differently. We can just read the first part of the verse. Jesus Christ, the same. He's that one. He's the I Am from the Old Testament. He is the same. Exactly the same expression that we have in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 12. Quotation from Psalm 102. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Well, you know, dear ones, from my own heart, I consider these verses, that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again for us. The one who is the creator of the universe, the one who was despised, the one who was alone and had infinite solitude, so that you and I would never be alone. He's the one who's looking for a response in your life and mine to his love, that his love would constrain us. You know, we are religious creatures, and if we do good, behave properly, don't do wrong, obey, these are all good things. But I believe they're not done under the constraining love of the Lord Jesus. You can see them in the mirror. And when you see them in the mirror, doing pretty good. I'm not that bad. I can compare myself perhaps to others. Oh, would you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus? Whew. How could we ever compare ourselves to him? He's brought us to perfection forever by his sacrifice. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the Spirit of God entertain our hearts in this beautiful book with the glories, the beauties, the perfection of that one who for you died and rose again. And in the measure that you appreciate it, and I appreciate it, that his love would constrain us to live for him. And in that measure, we're never going to stand before the Lord ever to say, Lord, look at what I've been doing for you. Oh. It's all of what he's done for us. May the Lord bless his word to our souls.